Grant that we may ever meditate on what is right and reasonable. Words, my friends in Christ, from the collect of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As someone who witnessed the Vatican II revolution unfold over more than 50 years, 12 years as a seminarian and 40 years now as a priest, I can assure you that I've seen an awful lot of things repeat themselves. One thing is what I call the Vatican II victim. This is the type of person who, in normal times, had it not been for the Vatican II mess, would either have become a Catholic, if he wasn't already one, or stayed a Catholic, if he was. In the first category is the convert, the non-Catholic who, through diligent reading and research, becomes attracted to the timeless truths of the Catholic faith. But when he goes to the Novus Ordo Church and signs up for convert instructions, which they call the RCIA, he there encounters the post-Vatican II convert courses, where he's told that God doesn't really care what you believe, or that all religions are more or less the same, or that the Bible is just a collection of nice stories. End of the story of the convert. In the second category, there's someone who has been baptized a Catholic as a baby, but all of his religious formation has been in the post-Vatican II system. So after 8 or 12 or 16 years even of nominally Catholic education, he comes out knowing next to nothing about Catholic doctrine or Catholic moral principles. And eventually, he drifts away from even nominal Catholicism, or he goes to embrace some other religion that gives him what the Vatican II religion does not give him: certitude about what God reveals and certain moral principles by which he can guide his life. So I've seen this over and over and over during the decades. I've spoken from this pulpit about one such case, my apostate oncologist. Today I'd like to tell you about another person I encountered in this category several months ago. He had a full 16 years of nominally Catholic education in the Novus Ordo system, grade school through the end of a local Catholic university. But what he received there in the way of instruction in Catholicism was all the usual vague peace, love, joy, modernist, feel-good religion that you get from the Novus Ordo. So he had no clear doctrinal formation. And as you see, he certainly had no apologetics. In other words, that's the branch of theology, studies of the Catholic religion, we could say, that deals with proving the truths of our faith and defending it from attacks. That's apologetics. So, at the end of college in a local Catholic university, an acquaintance gave him a Bible, saying that, well, this would really tell you, if you're puzzled, what you need to believe. And because he was a seeker and a sincere person, he ended up then in a Protestant church with a rather grim and strict view of who was saved and who was not, and eventually he founded a very successful Protestant school. Thus, the product of a Vatican II education, another Vatican II victim. So why does something like this happen to a baptized Catholic who's obviously sincere in his quest to know what God wants him to believe and how God wants him to act? How does it happen? It's because the Vatican II religion has embraced one of the errors of the modern age, that faith equals personal feeling, equals emotion, equals sentiment. Well, I feel that God wants. Also tied in with this is the error of the modernist heresy, that faith, when you get right down to it, boils down to religious sentiment. And when these sentiments come together, you get religion. In fact, it is this personal feeling concept of faith that the People's Pope, Bergoglio, preaches. He speaks of faith as encounter with Jesus. What does that mean? Who knows? Who knows? Doctrine, certitude about what God reveals and expects you to believe, takes a back seat, even if it ever makes it into the car, or in his case, into the Popemobile. Doctrine, clarity of doctrine, is something that he himself dismisses and has done repeatedly as ideology. Now, the term ideology, of course, is associated with politics, political, a system of political ideas. And that's how he blows off the notion of doctrine. In fact, he told a seminarian whom he encountered at some audience, he asked the seminarian, well, what are you studying? And the seminarian said, oh, I'm studying fundamental theology. And Bergoglio came back by saying, oh, well, I found that very boring. Well, indeed, I'm sure he did. So when it comes to the Novus Ordo Church, if you want certitude black and white, well, if you're into that sort of thing, you go elsewhere, to Protestantism or to Greek Orthodoxy or whatever. The real Catholic understanding of what faith means, however, is something much more objective. Faith is the virtue by which we believe the truths revealed by God, not necessarily because of intrinsic evidence, but because of God's authority proposing them to us. And this he does through the church. And all this is under the influence of grace. So the mind assents to the truth, and our will, as we're creatures of intellect and will, the will compels the intellect to assent to the truth under the influence of grace. So to answer questions about faith, one must first look to the criteria for belief to separate, as we never tire of emphasizing, the true from the false in religion. How do I know what God expects me to believe? The church has always made clear exactly what the principles are and how that's supposed to work and what the system looks like. In the seminary high school, I had an excellent German teacher, Father Robert Miller, and he taught us a good conversational German. And incidentally, he was a musician, and he also taught us a whole load of German drinking songs. So while I may not be able to drink a German under the table, I can probably still sing a German under the table. But Father Miller, or Hochwürden Müller, as he taught us to address him, had little use for the errors of the modernists and what was going on and circulating in the Vatican II Church at the time. When it came to the truths of the Catholic faith, he would say, das alle hängt zusammen, which means it all hangs together. Das alle hängt zusammen. And this was to express the idea that in the Catholic faith, one truth is dependent upon and linked to another and another, etc. And the faith is something integral. It is something whole. I thought of this when the Catholic turned Protestant I mentioned earlier gave me a book that an evangelical Protestant had written. And the author was trying to give a fair and global view of Catholic teaching, and I was pleasantly surprised with it because he really got it about Catholicism. He understood that it's an all-encompassing theological system. By that we mean a way for the explanation of the faith. Theology is faith seeking understanding. And he understood that this system in seemingly insignificant details of our religious practices can trace back in one way or another to broader theological principles about our beliefs. So take wearing the scapular, for instance. It is inseparable from a whole array of our Catholic beliefs about grace, about human nature, about the redemption, about the communion of saints, about the role of Blessed Mother in our salvation, about the last things, heaven, hell, death, judgment, and so on. It's all inseparable from that. It's one. And the scapular is also a reflection of another fact about Catholicism, that it is the incarnational religion, the religion of the God made man. Our Lord, who uses tangible earthly signs to draw us up to heavenly realities. So, what should you know about this? That is, what should you know about how our religion hangs together? That is, our whole system of belief as Catholics begins with what's called the motives for credibility. It's a 25-cent term for the reasons used to start the process that will eventually lead to giving us certitude about what God expects us to believe. The teachings say that Christ is the Redeemer, that he died for our sins on the cross, and so on. And the chief of these motives is testimony that is based on authority. So the great minds of Catholic theology begin with the possibility and the fact that God can reveal himself, that God can and he does reveal himself to man. And then they pass immediately on to the topic of the church. This is because the church is seen as the authoritative witness to what Christ revealed, even before that religion was written down. The tradition and the preaching of the apostles and their successors. This is also because the church was seen as a guarantor for that revelation when it finally was written down, when it finally was assembled, and the church gave us, guess what? The Bible. And finally, it is because the church was seen as the authoritative guardian of that revelation throughout successive generations, as the great Christian theologians, the church fathers, the mystic scholastic theologians like St. Thomas Aquinas, etc., tried to explain and tried to apply the consequences of that revelation. It's after this, then, that the church's great theologians go on to explain systematically and reasonably, in order, the many truths we must believe as Catholics, and indeed the truths that we must meditate on. In this regard, I keep something very important in mind, that any objection to the Catholic faith that someone can come up with has already been answered. There's nothing new, please. 2,000 years worth of saints, popes, of councils, and theologians have pondered very carefully every facet of our faith in order to explain it and to defend it. So even if you yourself don't know what the answer to a difficult question is, You can be sure that someone infinitely smarter than you or I has already figured it out. To conclude, our Lord in the Gospel compares the kingdom of heaven to a mustard seed, that is, the smallest of seeds, which outgrows all the rest of herbs to become a giant tree. This is the story of his kingdom, the church, and thus also the story of his church's preaching of the gospel unto us in the Holy Ghost, as St. Paul says, and in much fullness. It is for us Catholics, therefore, to be, as the Collect says, semper ratio nobilia meditantes, always pondering reasonable things, and indeed the most reasonable of all, the truths of our faith. Think about them, pray about them, and make them yours. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.